Arr, grog.
What have you got? I've got a cider. It's not a great cider, I must admit.
A Chilean Cabernet Sauvignon. I'm actually still hungover from last night, to be honest. But
where is Chile, Kerry?
Chile? That's South America, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to point at it on a map, though, which bit of it, you know, which shape it is or anything.
Yeah, Kerry and I were just discussing Chris Philp on Question Time last night, failing to understand the difference between the Congo and Rwanda. And Kerry, to her credit, went, yeah, I wouldn't know that either. So we'll have a new patron. Yeah. Well, we've already got Village or Chitage.
Well, we can't inflict this on them as well.
No.
Poor bastards.
There must be. There's a game show in there somewhere for the patron. I just don't know what it is yet. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. I'm Matthew Weir. I'm joined by Kerry. I've been ousted from my usual room of recording because I've got a full house this week. So I'm in the bedroom. So I might sound a little different to your well-trained ears. Kerry, everyone got into a bit of a flap last week because I had an internet tech fail.
Yeah.
And was unable to upload the pod. And I know now that my equivalent of blink twice if you're in trouble is don't upload the pod. Because in the end, I gave up on Saturday. I was like, look, I'll just do it Sunday morning. I tried to ring Kerry. Kerry didn't pick up. And I was like, well, that's that. And I woke up in the morning. There was about 17 messages from people saying, are you dead? Is everything okay? There's no pod. What's going on?
Including me.
Including Kerry, yeah.
I know. I didn't pick up because I was in a sofa coma when you rang. It was quite late, I think, wasn't it? And then I saw a message and you'd put, are you there? And then about 10 minutes later, don't worry about it. Thought, oh, this is a bit odd. And then in the morning, no pod episode to put on Twitter.
I realised I was completely powerless anyway because I hadn't uploaded anything to Docs and therefore I couldn't send it to you to upload even if I'd wanted to. So
how did it feel having no internet for 12 hours or whatever it was?
Well, I had it on my phone.
Yeah.
Just didn't have it through the, for some reason, because I had mobile data. It's my fault because do you remember actually? Mm-hmm. You probably don't. I did say that those sticks that are centred got me in the eye when I was bending down to fix a modem problem.
I do remember that, yeah.
And I think that was the beginning of it. But anyway.
Okay.
Touch IKEA furniture. It's all good now. Before we go any further into the Archers, let's have a little ad and then we'll get stuck into it, all right?
Hello, dear Cidershed listeners. It's Bartleby here. I'm sorry my hilarious ramblings have now gone 2 weeks without appearance in the Archers. Word on the green is that Nick Warburton chap ate three of Fallon's cosmic quiches with a side portion of Freddy's special risotto and completely forgot to write me in. Instead putting some nonsense about mixed suitcases and Sherwood Forest cosplay sex in instead. And what a load of old fucking pony that was, eh? See you soon.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Before we've even done that, Kerry, I just went off on one. How are you?
That's all right. I'm okay. I'm a bit, I was on a work social last night. We went to play bingo in Shoreditch and it was less like bingo, more like Squid Games.
Isn't it Beardo in Shoreditch?
Oh, Matthew. Those days are gone, aren't they?
Are they?
I think it peaked.
£8 for a bowl of Frosties?
It's very nice in Shoreditch, full of lovely people.
Nathan Barley.
Oh, I loved him. Yeah, so I was out. I didn't get home till midnight. You know, I left the house 6:30 a.m., got back at midnight. I wasn't drinking for all of that time. I was working, and then we went out to this bingo place that was insane. I'll send you a little video of it, Matthew.
Nice. Did you win?
No.
Okay. Did they do all the traditional kind of names for the numbers, or did they?
No. It was like the Squid Games in there. It was really sort of like there were robots, there were dancers, it was all dark.
Are you sure it was a bingo hall, Kerry? It sounds like a nightclub.
Just got locked in a toilet or something. Yeah, it was great. I want to go again. It was just a 90-minute session.
Yeah, I went to this this great bridge club the other night. There were women dancing on poles, everything. Never seen anything like it. Just to give listeners an insight into the production side of the pod, yesterday, Kerry and I originally said we were going to record at lunchtime today, which is Friday, and Kerry said, I'll make my notes on the train. And then I said, why don't we do it later? And Kerry said, great, because I'm kind of pissed and I don't want to do it on a train right now.
I did download the episode so that I could listen to it on a train. But I got on at London Bridge at sort of like 10:30 at night, as if I want to listen to that then to 4 episodes of The Archers and make notes that would be in any way coherent the next morning.
Well, let's see how coherent you are.
Yeah.
On the first subject we've got on our piece of paper, which is Alice and Harry.
Yeah.
It's inevitable?
Ooh. I guess so. Dramatically inevitable. It's a massive shame on many fronts, I think, isn't it? Well, there's 2 things that
she shagged him.
Yes. That she's having anything to do with him. She invited him in for a cup of tea. That turned into dinner. He read Martha a book and said, I love Martha.
Oh.
And I thought, you've known her 5 minutes. This is manipulative talk. Back off. Next thing we know, he couldn't find his sock because it was thrown in the log burner in a wild, passionate sexual encounter.
I reckon he's got tweedy striped socks.
Tweedy striped?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he also made a point of saying, how's Martha? And she went, oh, it's all right, she is asleep. But people on Twitter have said, will Martha have actually heard/seen anything and say to Chris, Harry was at Mummy's bed.
Yeah, I saw Mummy riding Harry like she does Cranford Crystal.
Yeah. That would be quite a good way of it getting out, wouldn't it? Can she speak even? We've never heard her, have we yet?
I don't know. I mean, I think Martha's pretty primitive because on Sunday, Alice was really worried that she was going to go on the cricket pitch. I mean, is she not potty trained or toilet trained or what?
Oh. She thought she was going to get clonked on the head by the ball.
Yeah, if Chris hit it and she would be like, Daddy, Daddy. And obviously Ed can't get to it as his slip midfielder and it just conks. And then they'll be like, oh, Laura, you've concussed a kid. And Alistair would go, no, she didn't. She didn't do it.
It was funny listening back, knowing that she's had a drink when she's speaking to other people. Because I don't think that cupboard shuffling and finding the bottle and glug, glug, glugging on whatever it was. I don't think that how it was done. I don't think it's the first time that's happened in recent weeks for her. Did you get that impression?
See, I think she probably didn't drink prior to the shag. And I would certainly say that she hadn't drunk when she was talking Harry through pouring the booze away. What was it? Last Sunday, the Sunday before last, or was that? No, it was the Friday, wasn't it?
Mm.
I don't think that she's been drinking.
Why has she got it there, hidden?
Good question.
And when did she get it?
She was a vodka drinker, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was kind of literally pushing Lillian out the door, wasn't she?
Oh, well, she wasn't bloody helping, was she?
No.
She was like, you're in the eye of the storm now, aren't you, Alice? You know, single mum, working really hard. Like, all right, shut up. She was like edging closer and closer to the cupboard, waiting for Lillian to piss off.
Dropping 2 cubes of ice into a tumbler glass. Are you going to go or what?
Yeah, a slice of lemon.
Yes.
Some Fever Tree tonic or whatever it is.
Put this tomato soup in a blast chiller, I could get a Bloody Mary on the go. Why does Lillian have to put an adjective in front of every person's name? Because it was the what was it this week? She said the marvelous Martha and the lovely Harry and the gorgeous Chris and the Justin.
I did enjoy her though, Lillian. She can be very good. I like her more when she's in this, darling, thank you. We've got to do this. We've got to do that at the stables, you know, when the inspectors came and there's nothing finer than tomato soup and cheese on toast. And, you know, I was reading to Martha this book and I've got no idea what it's about. And she's good at those little small talk bits, I think.
Yeah. And the bit where she left, the post-sex thing was Alice just going, no, 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 no. And I thought she was going to do it then. And she didn't. And I thought it was quite well paced that you end up with Lillian leaving and her going, right. And you heard the cupboard door opening and you could hear her saying, where are you? Yeah. And you knew she was going for something, you know, that she shouldn't be doing. I mean, I can relate to that because once my cool hipster friends from Porto all leave my apartment, I go to the back of the airing cupboard and get my Mike and the Mechanic CD out.
Do you, Matthew?
Much in the same way that Alice did with that bottle of Smirnoff.
What did they sing? There's one, isn't there, that's massive. What was it?
They are Genesis without a singer, aren't they?
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're Mike Rutherford.
But they have got a singer, haven't they?
Yeah, Mike Rutherford sings.
Right.
But normally there's either Phil Collins or in the old days, Peter Gabriel.
What was that? Oh, The Living Years. In the Living Years.
There's a very funny clip where Mike Rutherford was on a radio show once and a guy rings up who's obviously had a few. And he's like, I've seen you with Genesis quite a few times. And he just starts listing the places he's seen them. And the guy's, Mike Rutherford's being very nice. And he went, but the thing I want to know is how did you come up with the song Soul's Real? Which Mike Rutherford had nothing to do with. It was a Peter Gabriel solo record. And he goes, well, I actually didn't write that. That was Peter wrote that. But I agree, it's a fantastic song. Aww. And there's a long pause and this guy goes, what do you think of Supertramp?
I absolutely love Supertramp, by the way.
Oh,
I do. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not slagging it. I mean, they're probably like, in terms of music you hear when you first realise what music is, they're one of the first bands I remember hearing.
Yeah. Oh, they did Over My Shoulder. Looking back over my shoulder, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yeah.
Also, I'm looking at a picture of them and there's one of them who I'm sure sings one of my favourite Squeeze songs. But anyway, we digress.
We do digress.
Quite a bit.
We went to the back of the cupboard for Mike and the Mechanics, I often do.
Normal. The sound effects when she was scrabbling about in the cupboard, she kept, obviously we had to know it was a glass bottle, I think. There was like tapping, wasn't there, of the glass. Then there was the screwing of the screw top, the pouring, and she did really huge gluggings.
Yeah, I saw quite a few people going, look, you don't know if that was alcohol. I was like, yeah, that's one hell of a misdirection if they've done that.
Yeah, it could have been. Like, why would she hide schlur at the back of a cupboard?
And Lillian did comment about how she seemed to have a bit of a glow on the next day. And she went, I feel better than ever. So it may have just been some diuretic kombucha or something that she had.
Yeah, we all keep that in the cupboard, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Right next to Mike and the Mechanics.
When she said, I feel better than I have in ages. Oh, shit.
Yeah, she's fucking roasted. That's why. The next thing that she was going to say was probably like, do you fancy a kebab, Auntie Lillian?
Yeah. Also, when the inspectors came, she was drilling bloody things onto fences and stuff or whatever, stable doors. She'd sorted out, she'd told all the staff they were coming, had made sure the out of date hats were all hidden away next to Mike and the Mechanics. So she was kind of overcompensating a bit, wasn't she, for the slapdash approach before. And that was interesting because that was the day after the drinking as well, wasn't it? So she was up early, she was doing loads of stuff. It wasn't as though she had drunk so much that she couldn't function the next day at this point anyway.
Maybe it was just that glug because she said, yeah, she got a full night's sleep, didn't she? Slept right through.
Yeah.
Martha didn't wake her, so.
She probably was trying, which is a bit of a worry, isn't it? I think, you know, it's just, this is the tragic bit, isn't it? Well, one of them, that she could well be a drunken mother in charge of an infant.
And are we going to have a situation where Harry cleans up and Alice is back in the mud?
Yeah, I did think that as well. Yeah, because he's off to rehab and his mum was saying, oh, it reminded me of when I packed him off to an adventure playground with his rucksack.
Last week it was.
Yeah, I know. He looked terrified but determined.
She probably just took him to one of those things that Kate and Kirsty organised up at Spiritual Home in his little short trousers and his rucksack. Yeah. Mum, I'm 37, for goodness sake.
Because he also offered earlier in the week, or was it last week, he sort of went, I know, I'll come to your meeting. You come to mine, I'll come to you. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. You're a mess, she isn't, but it could well switch.
Has your Harry is a knob take cooled in any way, shape or form?
Okay. No.
All right,
no,
there you go.
No, it hasn't, but it is being discussed. You know, did he redeem himself with, you know, the Harrison testimony? It wasn't a testimony, was it? Testifying.
The testimonies were
what? Testimonial cricket match.
Testimonials. That's what Susan was getting people to do in the village shop on camera, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he did one of those.
Imagine Harry doing one of those. Oh, I love it. I love it. They never look judgmentally when you buy six bottles of vermouth. And apparently my missus went through a brick through the window.
Yeah, he did something else, didn't he? Oh, well, kind of admitting that he knows that he is one and having his little breakdown. But the point is, though, that I don't think he's a very nice person anyway.
Well, he asked himself, will I want a drink the next time I'm happy, sad, bored, depressed? I was like, has he been listening to the Archers? What's going on here?
Yeah, describing the whole range of emotions that we feel.
If Alice does have an uncle, an estranged Uncle Bruno that can see into the future, can she please let us know what's going to happen in the next month?
Oh, that was the book that Lillian was reading, wasn't it? That was in a film. Do you know that?
No, I have no idea what it was referring to.
I'm surprised. It's from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, funny that, Matthew. You don't know everything.
I never said I did. I know that the Congo and Rwanda are different countries, though, Kerry.
Good.
you Chris Philp.
I actually have no idea which film it is either, or when it was made.
Ah, okay. But it's... All right. I'd never heard of it. I'm going to look it up now.
Yeah, do. I was semi-interested, almost did look it up, thinking, I'm going to test Matthew on this. Forgot.
It's from an 80s movie.
Is it?
No, well, you just told me.
I know, and I was making that up to make a point.
I thought the whole thing was made up.
Maybe it is, Matthew. I mean, The Archers being made up? Are you mental?
Well, there's a song called We Don't Talk About Bruno. Ah, it's from Disney. It's from Encanto.
Ah, what's that?
It's like a Disney movie. It's not that old, actually. There's like a grammar game in the school that also factors in Disney princesses. And it's got to the point now where I know all the princesses.
Oh, God. Another game I can do for you. This one's about a Colombian teenage girl, Encanto.
Yeah, I think there's a game in there, you know. Disney princess or Austin Morris princess?
Well, Austin princess.
I thought that Austin princess, I thought that was like a Porsche when I was a kid. They looked so sleek.
Oh.
Looked like they could take off if you got enough speed going.
Cars were good, weren't they?
They were. Give me a Capri.
They're awful nowadays.
Well, they're just boring, uniform, yeah, aren't they?
Exactly. They used to be. Oh, there was this photo on Twitter the other day of a sort of, I think it was a 1980s or 1970s car park from slightly above. All the really, really primary colours of the cars.
Yeah.
It looked like, you know, a child's toy box of matchbox car colours.
That's only something that's changed in about the last 10 years ago. When I went to Brazil, the first thing I noticed that every car was like grey, white, black, blue, and there was nothing else.
Yeah.
And at that time in Ireland, where I've been living, you still did have lots of different coloured cars. And I feel like since I've come back, in Portugal, when you call an Uber, it's always like, colour of the car is grey. It's like,
yeah,
right. And then you look up the road to see if it's coming and there's 42 grey cars coming down the road. I was in an Uber the other day and there's a little bit at the end of my street, which is one way. Mm-hmm. And the guy, I was like, there's nothing coming. You can kind of go down there and drop me off the end. You don't have to go all the way around. And the guy was like, no, Matthew. And he started explaining in Portuguese. And I think he must have clocked I was English. And I think he thought I didn't understand it was against the rules.
Oh, right. Nice.
He, he drove down it, to his credit. He broke the law for me. And as he went down, he just turned to me and went, "It's forbidden. It's forbidden, Matthew."
Oh, Matthew. Making people break the law.
Yeah, no. Just a little bit, tiny bit.
What's it to save your legs?
No, it's to save him going all the way around the long way.
Ah, right. Sorry. I was thinking it was a selfish thing.
No. I actually had to walk more from there, but it was to save him getting stuck in traffic. And stuff.
He's in prison now.
Yeah, I'll visit you, Carlos. Just let me know which one you're in.
Right. We've digressed again.
We
were talking about Lillian, cupboards.
Mike and the Mechanics. Austin, yeah. Princesses.
Yeah, Disney films.
Oh, the Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else to add on Alice that you think we've missed? Still sniffing, isn't he?
Yes, he was sniffing again. Yep.
I feel like just editing together all his sniffs.
Yeah, please do. Can you imagine trying to find him?
He'd go mad. I mean, he does it every episode, doesn't he?
Yeah. Maybe that'll be his final word as he sort of dies.
Kerry.
Yeah?
Did you hear how Lillian said issue?
I did. I did, Matt. I thought of you immediately.
I didn't think that they were an issue.
It's more issue than issue, wasn't it? And when you've got the prof, Jim Lloyd, saying issue, no one should be saying issue.
Yeah, we're a bit fixated on that, aren't we?
We are. Oh, also, something else that annoyed me, because we've said we didn't like, I'm going to lose friends here, but we didn't like come with, we didn't like my bad. I don't like it when people say picky tea.
Ah, yes.
I just don't like that. I don't like that term. Yep. I don't know why.
It's useful though, isn't it? Because you know exactly what it means. What would you say instead that's so economically...
This is going to be like Gulliver's Travels when they start a war over which side you chop the egg. I'd say dips and chips or dips and bits or something like that.
Worse. Yeah. Isn't it though? Come on. You had to think of that. I think you just made it up on the spot.
No, I'd just say like I'm going to put out some cheese and biscuits. I wouldn't say picky tea. Picky tea.
But cheese and biscuits is too specific and that sounds like that's all you're getting. Like which happened at home.
I don't know. Picky
much.
Tea sounds like you got your finger up your fucking nose to me.
Oh, I see. Can you imagine if someone went, yes, we're having a picky tea, and on these little plates, various, there's different bogies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Helen did serve it up, so anything's possible.
Oh, I love Joyce so much. Love, love, love. How she, as soon as she appeared, which was on Sunday, oh, what a lovely afternoon. And she was like, it's a bit posh here, isn't it? Puts Ambridge to shame. Anyone want a sausage roll? Like, this is the sort of woman you want in your life, isn't it?
She's reverse sledging, isn't she? She's like, good, look at the pavilion. Much better than that piece of shit we've got in Ambridge.
She was absolutely superb. And then she went to Helen's, where we heard about the olives, which transported Joy back to her girls' holiday with Susie someone. And they used to just get a bowl of olives and chips. There you go. Olives and chips.
There you go. The picky tea, isn't it?
Yeah. They'd have a Greek picky tea. And, best holiday she's ever had. And then Helen goes, I haven't had a girl's holiday for years. And the whole audience are thinking, yeah, we all know why. No fucker would want to go on one with you.
She kind of put that down to herself, didn't she? Like, I've just had to let everyone down. I was like, I don't think so.
I know. She then went, she qualified it by saying, I have had opportunities, because she knows that everyone listening is thinking, no one's asked you. But anyway, next thing we know, it's like Joy's taking her off to Zakynthos or Skiathos. Imagine.
Or Lesbos.
Oh, God. Yes, good. Joy and Helen, yes.
Yeah. Katie very helpfully posted a photo of Shirley Valentine. Words, this takes me back to Corfu 1982.
Oh, that was a film of its time, wasn't it? See, she had chips and egg. And it always annoyed me that it wasn't egg and chips. She says chips and egg and throws it at the wall, doesn't she? I've been to the beach where she sits on that little chair in front of the taverna on the water's edge. I've sat there myself.
What's the killer chat-up line that the Greek bloke has?
Oh, yes, yes. Because that's Tom Conti, isn't it?
I think he says, I won't try to make f*** with you.
I can remember it being bowled over by him because he says something nice about her stretch marks. Doesn't he? And for her, for a woman of a certain age, you're thinking, God, excellent. He doesn't mind my stretch marks. And then the boat starts rocking, doesn't it, when they're having sex?
Mid-sex, she turns around because the music swells, doesn't she? And then she looks at the camera and says, where did that orchestra come from?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's Joy then, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, good on her. Mind you, she is being slightly terrified by Mick and his weird behaviours. She's sussed that he's slightly out of sorts. And she did actually think perhaps he's gone off her, didn't she?
She thinks he's up to something. Last week, in Friday's episode, he took off with that cake, didn't he? Because Ruby Koss couldn't eat. She's gluten-free. Mayor, isn't she? So that's a terrible.
She is gluten-free, yeah.
Yeah, she's a gluten-free mayor. sounds like a thoroughbred horse, doesn't it, that Alice and Harry would like go in on. He said he was going to share that with Joy. Joy didn't mention anything about a cake, did she?
Yeah. Did he scoff it all himself?
Yeah. So she said he's been acting strange. And then suddenly, ding dong. And Az was like, hello, I'm here to view the house. And Helen goes, I live here. And I was like, great, Mick sold Helen's house. That's what he's been up to all this time.
I quite enjoyed. See, this week didn't have any silly bits in, did it? Where they're trying to be funny.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Which was good. Refreshing.
You're
nice.
Still hurting from the suitcase.
Oh,
Kerry, I was going to have a little bet with myself how many times you'd make the noise, and that was a kind of a withered version of it right there.
Yeah, it was, but that was about the previous week. I don't think I made that sound once this week.
No. Kerry, let's have a little break, and then we'll come back and tidy up any other bits that we haven't done yet, okay?
Yeah, dips and bits.
All right, you lot. Cranford Crystal here. I hear you've been tuning into the Grange Farm Ponce Bartleby's channel. I heard he can be quite poisonous and negative. Better off with me. I got all the goods. I've seen Nigel shoved off the roof by David. Freddy and Nolitando smoking one off in the woods on a stormy night. And who can forget the Grundy Grumblefest that was Emma and Ed's filthy logging session? Indeed, I feel my channel has really turned a corner. In fact, come to think of it, I might set up a fake account on the Ambridge subreddit. Call myself Nasty Nectarine or something daft like that. And say a bunch of shit about that Bartleby's channel whilst picking up mine. I'm sure no one will ever guess it's me.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I think I've just discovered there's a rapper called Picky T.
There should be. Didn't he get shot in Chicago?
In a cracker den.
In a cracker barrel.
I mean, we just slagged off the Archers for having no shit jokes, and then we just done that.
Yeah. Do you think when people are listening to us, all that is heard is,
Cricket. You were talking about Supertramp earlier, a very tenuous link. Dreadlock Holiday. Who likes cricket? Well, we heard Henry doesn't like cricket, but he's going to play it anyway. And I like the way when he said to Helen, it's like Rob's been stopping me, even though he's dead.
What, is he a wicketkeeper?
Yeah, he's
haunting kind
of, the ghost. The ghost of Rob is just like poltergeist messing with the Ambridge cricket team. I'd love
with
that.
The stumps.
Yeah, like karate kicking the stumps off. Take that, you little shit.
My very favourite bit about Henry playing cricket was that he said he threw the bat at the ball.
Yeah, it's easily done that though. If you don't have a firm grip, I think you can probably go on YouTube and find pros doing that.
I know. I think he purposefully did it. He sort of forgot what you do, didn't he? I don't think it slipped from his hand. He sort of actually threw it, I thought. No?
I'm still getting hooked on this idea of a ghost Rob. Like parading around the green, like kicking Tom in the nuts.
Yeah. What happened to the sheep on the cricket pitch? Well, to the side of the cricket pitch.
Well, they struck a deal with Miles, didn't they?
They did. Yep. Thank you. Yes. There was lamb talk as well, wasn't there? With the broken-legged lamb.
Yeah, it was a complete fracture of the radius.
And that cost 150, 120, something like that.
It was 150 for this, like, what was it, a synthetic cast or something he said he was going to put on? And Ed's there going, yeah, what about that lure, eh? Yeah, saw you there, Alistair. And he goes, do you want this cast or not?
Yeah.
And he went, yes, please.
Ed was good at the whole taking the rise out of Alistair, because, of course, he's oblivious to the Denise situation. So later he did that in front of Denise as well, didn't he? He said, oh, yeah, I'm just encouraging Alistair because Laura was cracking onto him. And, you know, you're single, Alistair. Why didn't you ring him? And Denise was pretty much like, well, if you want to, then yes, why don't you?
Double trouble, wasn't it?
I really hope he does.
Yeah, me too. Not least because Laura sounded absolutely fantastic on mic.
Yes, yeah. Another one on mic.
Another one on mic. I mean, that guy, he gets so much action, doesn't he? He's not even in it. He's not on mic. I mean, I did like that, the way Ed called in at the surgery to go, anyway, Alistair, do you realise the way that they keep on lazily connecting scenes? It's like, Auntie Lillian, you left your phone at the stables. Alistair, you left your coat up at the farm. Last week, Chris, I'm looking for a knife. I think I left it in the... Like, what's wrong with these people? They just, are they like the Dalai Lama? They've got no attachments. They just drop shit and keep walking wherever they go.
Yeah, because Lillian, it was Denise. She went to get her phone. I was just thinking then Lillian nearly put a kettle in the fridge, but that was a slightly different thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Ed came back to the surgery and he's saying to Alistair, yeah, I'm sorry, but that was very childish of me earlier. And, you know, it's just none of my business, really. I shouldn't bring that up. So are you going to shag her, actually? Yeah, you're going to go for it? Yeah, you like her, don't you? And then by this time, Denise is there going, yeah. Oh, what's this? The real litmus test here, Alistair should just sit them down.
What, Laura and Denise?
Yeah, Laura and Denise. Sit them down next to each other and say, take it in turns to say my name.
Yeah, well, we know who would win with that, don't we?
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
She was pretty keen, though, wasn't she? She said, what was the order? Like, they traded numbers, and then she said, I'm going to call you now.
So that it's on my phone.
A bunch of girls came back to my apartment once in Dublin.
Oi, oi.
And my laptop was open, and in those days, it was like Facebook was perma-logged in. Mm. And the girl sent herself a friend request from me, and then went in on her phone and accepted it. Without me realizing.
Oh, and then like I got smart.
And then I suddenly like woke up the next morning and I had a slew of kind of DMs on Facebook and I was like, I don't remember doing this. And then she confessed.
Ah, did it work, that tactic, in terms of, you know, a bit of a going out thing?
For about a month, yeah.
Oh, well, cool. Hack into people's computers to get dates.
She didn't hack. I mean, it was open, to be honest.
Still? I mean, you know.
But yeah, it was very, you know, postmodern way of going about it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been worse. She could have just, you know, created a fake account and started approaching me with a fake name or something like that.
Yeah, slagging off all the other girls to make herself look better, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Strange people would do that, wouldn't they?
Badger!
Yes, Laura, very bright, very confident, beautiful voice, quite giggly, so quite light. In mood, very, very contrasting with where Denise is at the moment, which is just sort of growling, troubled, unhappy.
John's back. And then she said, like, we need to talk about us. And then he said, can we do it another time? I'm off to dry hump a Peloton for 7 hours. Is that all right?
Called Steve.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
That's his nickname for his Peloton, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah. I'd rather be with Steve right now, thanks. All is not well. She has at least said to him, I'm not happy with how things are, can't really do this, you know, we need to have a proper talk. Whenever she says talk, there's a really big at the end of it as well. Annoying. Yeah, get bin off Denise, bored. Get Laura, thank you. having heard her for 2 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. Her stock has fallen dramatically, hasn't it, Denise?
Yeah.
About 2 years ago, everyone was rooting for her. And I feel like she's kind of wound a few people up with this whole... I think it's because she's messing Alistair around, isn't she?
Is it 2 years? Bloody hell.
Well, it's probably 2 years or slightly less since Chelsea decked her out in that dress and she went to the award ceremony.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, she seemed quite fun then, didn't she?
Yeah.
But, you know, she has got the woes of an unhappy marriage and a sort of family situation going on, hasn't she? And thinking, like, do I give all of that up? And that's going to be a bit messy. And I think she's actually okay with Alistair, really, isn't she? In that she's like, if you want to go out with her, then do. And didn't he, it's up to you. And there was a line, wasn't there? We went, she'd gone. And he went, yes, it's up to me. But then we didn't hear what he did.
Listen to Ed. Speaking of Ed, he's realised something about tree surgery that pretty much all the listenership realised immediately, Kerry.
I loved this, where he's like, yeah, I've been looking up tree surgery deaths. And he's realised that going really high up in a tree with a chainsaw can be quite dangerous. You've got your chainsaw injuries, you've got your falling out of the tree injuries, and you've got the branches falling on you injuries. And he's suddenly thinking, not sure I want to do this. But Fallon was very supportive, wasn't she?
Get out of that tree, you big coward. What's wrong with you?
Life is risky. Just, you know, get on with it, grasp it. And I liked how she went, listen, you two, you're well prepared. I thought, God, they've like looked it up on Wikipedia a couple of times.
Yeah, she said they've been planning it for months, and Emma talks about it so much. I almost feel like I could be a tree surgeon. I was like, really? Has she, she'd been on the quiches. Ed's there with Harrison going, do you know what, Harrison? I went online. You have to climb up trees to do this work. Did you know that?
With an electric cutty thing.
In Ed's head, it was like an episode of ER, and on the operating table is like a little, you know.
Log.
Yeah. Adam.
Yes.
So, yeah, Ed's only just realised tree surgery is going to be quite difficult.
Yep.
And now we're going to have a break.
Are you tired of seeing our beloved Ambridge animals exploited on social media platforms like Instagram and TikTok? Well, listen up, because the Crackademic Archers Charitable Institute of Massively Overthinking Things from an agricultural radio soap is here to make a change. Picture this. Bartleby the pony at Grange Farm, subjected to a grueling work schedule producing an hourly gossip channel under immense pressure from the Grundys. Cranford Crystal, the horse at Lower Loxley, forced to wear sequined costumes and make diss tracks about his fellow animals, all for the sake of likes and clicks. Barry the Brookfield Badger, often to be found on David's Facebook Live page, singing the latest releases from Taylor Swift, with his cruel master's gas bottle at the ready, should he get a lyric wrong.
Shake it off!
Sorry, not enough feeling, Barry.
And let's not forget, Bess the Sheepdog's Flat Earth Substack, Monty the long-suffering Doberman at Ambridge Hall with their Kate and William YouTube channel, and Eccles the Peacock, who was tragically flattened by evil landlord Kenton after refusing to post twerking videos on Twitch. These innocent animals deserve better. They deserve to be treated with respect and dignity, not as mere props for social media entertainment. You can make a difference by supporting the Crackademic Archers Charitable Institute of Massively Overthinking Things from an agricultural radio soap. Together, we can put an end to repulsive animal exploitation on social media. So please donate now to help us protect Bartleby, Cranford Crystal, Bess, Monty, and all the other animals of Ambridge. Remember, every contribution counts. Please give generously or send bananas. We're not picky.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, Kerry, let's welcome a few new patrons who've decided to come into the cider shed and snuggle up. First of all, Laura Martinez.
A big cider shed hug to new patron member Laura Martinez. We're so happy you've decided to join us, and we're eternally grateful for your help. What's your tipple? I hear the Banana Badger Banshees are good.
Make mine a badger.
Thanks very much, Laura. Got some great names this week, by the way. Laura's just one of them.
And Laura messaged the week before. So, yeah, lovely.
We've also got Alice Matani, another great name. Mm. Thanks, Alice.
Welcoming Alice Martini into the Cider Shed Patreon. Thank you so much. Make yourself comfortable, Alice. Help yourself to whatever you want from our midweek back catalogue. And most of all, Badger!
So there you go, Alice. Thank you very, very much. Get this one. Bren McLaughlin.
Bren.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I can see that up in like Hollywood lights, can't you?
Bren McLaughlin. Is it Brenda? Is it Brendan?
Bren. Simple, beautiful, classic.
Oh, this is lovely. Welcome, everyone.
Yeah, here you go, Bren.
Hey there, Bren McLaughlin. The Cider Shed is pleased to have you as a new patron. Thanks for your support. Get under the covers and badger away.
Badger time. Badger!
Cheers, Bren. And also, Joan McCarthy. Couple of Macs. Got a McLaughlin and a McCarthy. Thanks, Joan.
Hey, look. It's Joan McCarthy entering the Cider Shed patron. Well, ain't that just the sweetest thing? Thanks, Joan. We really appreciate it. Now, fancy a...
Badger! Badger time.
Hello, Joan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And also, a little shout out to Patricia Walsh, who we had some lovely correspondence with. Went out of the Cider Shed temporarily, but messaged us about it. Came back in. So this is a little something for you, Patricia.
Hey, Patricia. Welcome back to the Cider Shed Patreon. We missed you. Thanks so much for your help. There's a big fluffy
badger
on its way to you in the mail.
Also, bit of feedback from last week's episode on Patreon. Rebecca McFarland said, I was worried something was up. Look forward to the listen. Oh, yeah, that's when I went missing.
Catty.
Yeah. Catty said, yay, I enjoyed your difference of opinion on Fawlty Gables. I can also hear Peter's justifiable rant about the Ambridge class system where Horobins aren't allowed to have ambition without it being crushed by the ruling archers. Mm. I also hope Harry's bloody sniff is an actual thing, or what the hell are they playing at? Probably nothing knowing them, and it's the actor's rhinitis playing up in a dusty studio.
Oh God, what if it is? I fear that when I mention Justin's croakiness. You know, the phlegm.
Yeah.
I think, oh shit, he's perhaps got some sort of phlegm pocket.
Rod said, bye bye, always makes me think of Shaun of the Dead.
Oh yes!
I think I've seen Hot Fuzz a multitude of times. I think I've only seen Shaun of the Dead once. I have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, it's great.
James said, so pleased when Kerry gagged at the phrase come with. I thought I was the only one who cringes when I hear this. Jessa said, that was me who used my bad talking to Kerry on Blue Sky, and she's put in brackets, my bad. Funny thing, I don't even like that expression. I used to make fun of it too when I heard kids saying it. I think that's how language can go from laughable to mockable to common use while we're not paying attention.
True. It creeps in, doesn't it?
Hang on. Viv said, I'm lying in bed in dark shouting, cousin, at you guys. Please listen. Great episode, though. Yeah, that was when I lost it last week trying to figure out the connection between... I'm not even going there.
Yeah, please don't start that again. Jesus. I just enjoyed the fact that you didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, my brain didn't know.
Badger!
Pat said, Matthew, you're not alone. If you listen to Ambridge on the couch, you'll find Harriet was laughing out loud at the suitcase antics. By the way, I was also screaming, they're cousins! Embarrassing, as on a coach from London at the time.
Yeah, Harriet was a fan of the older...
Well, the funniest thing last week was I was doing a business presentation thing, and there was a video and an example of someone who gives a terrible business presentation, and... playing the part of the person giving the awful presentation was Harriet.
Yes.
I reminded her that one of the funniest moments in the video was the guy said, why didn't you call me if you needed help with the presentation? She went, you were in Stuttgart.
Therefore impossible to call.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And she just wrote back, Stuttgart, hilarious. I never need to see this, by the way. And I promised her I'll burn every copy in the school. Siobhan said, I'd buy Cider Shed merch. And then she followed up with merch.
Right, good. That's one customer.
Louise has chimed in. Kerry, Wednesday, Thursday, pile of shit. My husband. That's another version of the Happy Days theme.
Wednesday, Thursday, pile of shit. Friday, Saturday, there isn't one. Yeah, like it.
Richard Webb commented on Pony and Crap from a couple of weeks ago. When I talked about James Baxter, do you remember?
He said, I remember that, yeah.
He said, Kerry's lack of Adventure Time knowledge is unacceptable.
Yes, I'm very old.
Unacceptable!
That is a line from the character Lemon Grab, who's a really freakishly annoying character in it.
Of course it is, man.
In Adventure Time. And I said, nice Lemon Grab reference there. And he said, imagine him and Helen as a couple. To which I replied, Helen Grab. Oh, Audrey Ann said, I didn't change my team name or my low ranking.
Oh, that's funny, isn't it?
Listen, guys, all patrons, thank you so much for helping. Like, we're very, very grateful for all of that.
Oh, thanks for mentioning football, though, Audrey Ann. It was an interesting week.
Liverpool really, really wasn't threw it all Matthew? Away, didn't they? Yeah. Kerry, in fairness, what did I message you before the game even started?
I know. And in fairness back, I haven't done anything. I didn't make anything on WhatsApp about the whole thing. So
yeah, if you lose the league by a point, I'll always remember that draw we had at Stamford Bridge. Anyway, yeah. In our spam Gmail, very sorry, Matt, for this, Matthew Clay had sent a message.
How long's he been sitting in the spam?
Only about a week and a half, so it's not too bad. He said, hello both. Your extended Bartleby voice section on this week's podcast reminded me of the episode of Will and Grace where Jack kept doing Cher impressions. He ends up face to face with Cher and they're singing If I Could Turn Back Time.
Oh, this sounds good.
And so she sings and then he basically sings it back to her, saying that she's got all the intonation wrong. So have a listen. Here you go.
Oh, great.
This is what reminded Matt of our Bartleby voice.
Yeah, because of the warbling.
Does that sound like us doing Bartleby? I don't know about that.
Oh, that is fun. I want to watch it.
Over on our Facebook page, the Cider Shed podcast, sign up. Just got a very easy question to answer. As said before, Katie posted the photo of Shirley Valentine. Lots of Alice panic going on over there. Kay said Alice will be pregnant, won't she?
Oh, God. It is sad, isn't it? But true that whenever sex occurs, the audience immediately thinks, will there be a baby in 9 months' time or a pregnancy-ish issue to deal with in like the next few weeks? No.
Ian posted, yes, fun Alice is back.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
He probably means that, doesn't he? Like she's going to sort of go marauding around the village doing weird shit. Oh, dear.
Emma Lou Harris said, who are Julie and Andy? And why are we only hearing about them now they are moving to Surrey because Andy's got a deputy head job?
Yeah.
Actually, Joy said he's got a deputy head ship. Sounded like some kind of craft, didn't it? That they're going to use that to get to Surrey.
You can only use it in Surrey. Yeah. And so they were renting, were they, as well?
I presume so, yeah.
Because Dr. Malik is going to rent. I did wonder about those characters as well. I was like, oh, I wish we could have heard about them. And then there's the funny bit where one of the neighbour saying to Dr. Malik, you know, when she was viewing the house, saying to her, oh, you want to keep away from that right old gossip on the street. You'll never get away from her. And Joy going, oh, that's Bernadette, that is. And it's obviously Joy, isn't it? I quite liked that.
And Helen was trying to change the subject,
Shush
it on, wasn't she? So are you interested then? All we needed was Azra to go, yeah, and they also told me about this bitchy cheese woman lives around here.
Yeah, right, miserable cow she is. Always on her kids' cases. You know, they can't even go in the street and skateboard without her standing over them.
Yeah, apparently she made revenge porn of Carl Yates, who lives around the back, and blackmailed him with it. Dave Howard sent this in.
This week, which is pretty manky anyway, is being knocked over by the badgers. And
what's that from?
It's from Growing Solo, The Harvest, from the BBC. Oh. Stoll Leidenhosen just suggested Alice was necking the tomato soup. went, wow, Alice certainly put that tomato soup away in double quick time.
Well, from within a cupboard in a glass vessel with a screw top.
Louise said, there's no way that Robin Hood or the Sheriff of Nottingham like chickpeas.
I forgot about that meatless Monday or whatever it is.
I love a chickpea, me.
Oh, bloody great. Chickpeas. Oh, I've never really looked at a chickpea close up.
I think the scriptwriter didn't quite have the guts to culturally appropriate Harrison's accent like he would normally with bolognese. Or cappuccino. Can't really do that with Thai curry, can you?
No, yeah, I could have sort of had a, what would it be, chickpea fricassee. I don't even know what a fricassee is.
You got a Thai green curry in there, have you, Henry? Has that got coriander in it, by any chance?
Oh, Henry and his cookery. That was good.
Ian also said, do they write Ed deliberately thick? How could he have worked in the countryside for all these years and then suddenly realise climbing trees with a chainsaw might be a bit risky, in inverted commas? As I said before, though, I'm not having it. Ed and Emma wouldn't be able to physically do the work for long enough to make it work, surely. Has there ever been health and safety involved in any of the Grundy's previous escapades? I think Harrison was kind of gently pointing that out, wasn't he?
Do you know what I thought you were going to say then? Has there ever been anything that made any sense?
So, yeah, no, nothing makes sense. So, yeah, that's our Facebook group, the Cider Shed Podcast. Get over there if you want to get involved. And we've got an Instagram, which is at the Cider Shed Pod, where you'll see silly stories and some ads for the show. And we also put your reviews up in lights when we get them. So, yeah, you write a 5-star review, it will appear there. Kerry, that's our @ on Twitter as well, isn't it?
Yeah, speaking of reviews, we are lacking in any new ones.
Oh my
God. Any of you who haven't yet placed a 5-star review on your devices, go on, do it. We'll read it out. And it doesn't need to be long, just a little short sentence. Yeah, it's always nice to see a new one pop up.
Yeah, it's a big old pick-me-up, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like I said, immortalised on Instagram. And you get your own song in the stories as well. Yeah, so Twitter... Blue Sky.
Yep, at the Cider Shed Pod on Twitter, and Blue Sky, I am opening it because I can never remember it. It is something to do with the Cider Shed Pod. It is at the Cider Shed Pod .bsky.social.
There you go. Kerry's just gone to the back of the cupboard, found our Blue Sky, yep. Just behind Mike and the mechanics.
There she is. Glug, glug, glug.
All right, everyone. I think it's about time we got out of here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and edit this as soon as possible so we don't get into the mess that we got in last week with the internet popping in and out.
Good luck, love.
All right, Kerry, take care. Listeners, thanks so much, and we will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Seen you several times.
Right.
Hamburg, Manchester, and Birmingham.
That's good.
Now, a question I've got to ask you here is, how did you come out with Salisbury Hill? Where did that come from? Because that was a brilliant, one of the best songs I've ever heard.
Right. Well, unfortunately, that wasn't me. That was a song by Peter Gabriel.
Well, it was Peter, yeah, but weren't you involved in that?
No, that was his sort of, that was his first real kind of solo album he did when he left Genesis. But, I mean, I agree. I think it's a great song.
What do you think of Supertramp?
Hang on.